Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is You, the Owner's Manual Podcast, bringing you the latest medical news. So this is the A segment, 892A to be specific, and especially what it means to you. So I hope you're going to have some dark chocolate, because it does give your brain more gamma waves, and we'll tell you about those in a second. A new device has been cleared for treating bleeding in your gastrointestinal tract. What does that mean to you? It's good news. Delayed calorie disclosure rule now takes effect for the U.S. food sellers. That's good news, too. Early studies show people will eat, on average, 30 calories less three times a day, or roughly 100 calories less. That's enough to stop the weight gain in America. Rather than us gaining a little bit every year, we'll be losing it. A genetic test could help predict the right antidepressant for you, and a global study finds 44 genetic risk factors for major depression. What's it mean for you? Should you get your genes tested? We'll tell you specifically the answer to that question. The WHO, World Health Organization, says eat less saturated fat and ban trans fats. How do you do that from your diet? And the interesting article of the week, too much iron may act like rust in the brain and is linked to Alzheimer's disease. Let's go and talk about these one by one. The new device is the starting point. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved a new hemospray. That's a spray that you put down on an endoscope. That's one of those thin tubes that goes through your mouth or through your nose into your stomach if you're bleeding. You clear up this by sucking out the blood, clear it up, and then you spray it on. Good for ulcers, malformed blood vessels, diverticuli, cancer, inflammatory bowel disease. Not good for a couple of things. That is, if you've got adhesions before, you don't want it, because those are the problems with it. And in most cases, they used it in 228 people in the clinical study with gastrointestinal bleeding. 95% of the cases had the bleeding stopped within 5 minutes. Unfortunately, rebreathing in 20%. We don't know the long-term process for success, and you don't want it with an existing GI fistula or it at risk of bowel perforation. So I think those are probably the most normally what's done. You go through that endoscope, you suction things, and then you cauterize or burn that blood vessel that's bleeding, or tie it off. Not easy. This may be easier because it is a little spray of minerals that does the trick. The next story is about a genetic test to predict the right antidepressant for you. Well, depression is common, and there now are 44 different genetic variables that have been isolated that lead to or are associated with increased depression. Well, a device called the GeneSight has been developed that tries to pick out the right drug for you. How does it do it? Well, much of the treatment now relies on treatment or trial and error. That is, you try a drug, see if it works. If you don't, you go to another one. The GeneSight looks at 12 genes and how people break down 56 different antidepressant drugs. Turns out we know much more about the red ones. Red label drugs are the most useful category since they indicate the drugs a person should not be prescribed. That is, they lead to adverse reactions and little effective treatment. Will we all get this? Yeah, it'll get bigger and bigger, meaning we'll get more and more accurate over the next few years. Do I think it's accurate enough now? Oh, maybe, but I think I would probably go on a trial and error for the first drug. If you're not successful with the first drug, then maybe you go with this and find out why you haven't been successful. GeneSight is the name of that genetic test. And as I said, there now are 44 associated genes associated with depression, and those will be studied. This only looked at 12 genes for the metabolism of antidepressant drugs. We talked last week about even mild concussions doubles dementia risk, and that's true. Very little. And by the way, serious concussions, where you lose consciousness for a period of time, and I'll tell you what that period of time is in just a second, quadruples, increases the risk fourfold. So less than 30 minutes, a doubling. More than 30 minutes that you're unconscious, a quadrupling of the risk of developing dementia from this brain injury. One of the interesting stories also, if you will, this week is on iron and its association with Alzheimer's and dementia. So too much iron appears to act like rust in the brain. They did brain scans looking at iron, and it was associated, or iron was in the neurons that stopped functioning as well, such as those that developed Alzheimer's disease. So Alzheimer's disease, we know you develop a collection of tau and A-beta protein called amyloid. And now we know that also these cells that are damaged have iron. Now, when we've given drugs that stop the formation or suck out the amyloid or the tau protein, that hasn't stopped dementia, hasn't reversed dementia. So now there's a trial with something that decreases iron by chelating it when it goes to the brain. We'll see how well that works and what the side effects of it are, because maybe you won't have enough oxygen carrying capacity since iron is essential for that. But stay tuned. We'll give you an update as soon as it's published. I told you last week about dark chocolate, just a little bit. You want to have these great dark chocolate discs. One of my friends, Mary Pepino, makes these great discs that are, in fact, I think they're 22 calories. She's changed the name on them recently. I don't know why, but I had enough trouble remembering the old name. But now they're actually even better, and I'll tell you the name in a second. I've got to look it up here quickly while we're talking. So I think the new name is The new name is, let's see, she's written this long email to me. And the new name is More Solo, MORSOLO, dark chocolate, More Solo. And More Solo, MORSOLO, 22-calorie discs. You can get them in raspberry or espresso flavoring. They're just outstanding, and they're only 22 calories. Well, dark chocolate in this study gets what is called gamma frequency. It increases your gamma frequencies. It is what we call the highest level of cognitive processing. It should increase your memory. It should, in fact, decrease immune diseases, because these work together, and increase anti-inflammatory things. So, you know, my favorite, I guess I got four favorite foods. I got salmon, spinach, maybe broccoli, three walnuts, and chocolate, and coffee, of course. So it's my six favorite foods. You send me any of those or red wine, and I will thank you forever. We do get coffee once a week from a wonderful coffee company. We'll tell you more about that next week, because we've had the guest on. By the way, our guest this week, who gave just a sensational interview, you'll want to listen to Eat 92B, is Rosemary Gibson, author of China RX. China RX exposes the risk of America's dependence on China for medicines. You know, we've got a lot of shortage of medicines, and they could cut off a lot more if we ever got in a trade war with them. But worse than that, we don't know the purity. We don't have enough FDA inspectors. You'll find out a lot. She gave just a sensational interview. If you want to listen to an interview this month, the best one, and there are a lot of good ones, so I almost hesitate to say it, but Rosemary Gibson and the next one, 893, B, Nina Shapiro, Hype, A Doctor's Guide to Medical Myths, Exaggerated Claims and Bad Advice, How to Tell What's Real and What's Not. Those are two sensational interviews. You should listen to those. But the basic message, dark chocolate, good for your heart, good for your brain, good for your immune system. Unbelievable. It's almost as good as walnuts and salmon, broccoli, spinach, and of course, coffee. Don't mind if I have a swig while we're talking about that coffee being so good. And I did have walnuts and chocolate a little bit for lunch today. So it's a great day. And speaking of ChinaRx, the U.S. is facing an EpiPen shortage. Many of the drug companies have consolidated now, so they only have one plant for inefficiency to produce these drugs. They used to be two competitors or even two plants of the same company, but now all at one plant, getting more efficient. But the problem is when a safety break occurs at that one plant, or when something goes wrong with a machine at that plant, you can get a shortage. That's the shortage. Believe it or not, there are a ton of drugs, over 1,000 on the shortage list by the American Pharmaceutical Provider Association. That's not correct. It's by the American Society of Health System Pharmacists. And they've also confirmed a back order of the EpiPens and the alternatives to the EpiPens. So they're on the shortage list, and that shortage list keeps getting longer and longer. Scary. We've got to do better at drug availability. I don't know what to do about it as an easy solution, but it seems to me we should force companies to have at least two plants for every drug that's approved, so that if one plant goes down because of safety factors or infections or something, that we won't have a dire shortage the way we have. And those dire shortages, by the way, push prices up for all of us, especially all of us who use hospital-based medicines. The drug epidemic snared Gabby Penton. Now, Gabby Penton was a drug we used for chronic pain, but it doesn't give you a high in itself. Well, apparently using it with the other drugs that give you high, opioids, potentiates that high. It also seems to potentiate the respiratory depression and the hypotension, the lack of blood pressure, and sudden death. And it's become the most prescribed drug in Ohio. Other states are watching it too. When I've seen, talk to patients closely about it, they seem to get a dysphoria, a dislike for it, but that's not all patients. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. This drug is going to be on watch now. It's been a big money earner, I guess, for, Pfizer, which developed it and developed alternatives to it. Aggressive thyroid cancer, you're in good news if you have that this week compared to a month ago. Two new drugs by Novartis approved to treat aggressive thyroid cancer very successfully. So someone's got aggressive thyroid cancer. It is not a lethal disease anymore. We've got drugs that actually work with it and for it. Next item is eat less saturated fat, ban trans fat to curb heart disease. Well, the WHO, World Health Organization, says we can radically decrease heart disease if people keep their maximum of 10% of their daily calories in saturated fat, such as meat and butter, and virtually eliminate or do eliminate trans fat, which means eliminating fried food. The saturated fat is probably the proteins, but they say get it below 10% of your calories, which means less than roughly 180 calories a day. That means less than roughly 4 ounces or, if you will, 4 grams of saturated fat for 7 hours. So if you only eat while you're awake, it's a good thing to keep it down to 4 grams an hour of foods with saturated fat. And speaking of that, you're going to know much more because the calorie counts are on menus now. If you've got more than 20 stores, you're required to do it. It's part of Obamacare's good rules that teaches us what we're eating, gives us information about it, and requires labeling on more than 99% of the nation's vending machines. The good news, not only is it labeled, but people actually eat between 30 and 50 calories per meal less, which stops the, believe it or not, just that amount less, stops the obesity problem, stops a whole mess of type 2 diabetes, a whole mess of arthritis, stops a whole mess of heart disease and lung disease and kidney disease and brain rot. So this is good news if you are like others and decrease your calorie consumption by just 50 calories per meal. It's a wonderful thing. So that's it. And by the way, a low-carb diet was given to 316 people with type 1 diabetes. And the problem they worry about is hypoglycemia, low blood sugar. They didn't develop. Low-carb diet almost normalized diabetics. They have a normal hemoglobin A1C, which is your long-term barometer or measure of sugar, blood sugar levels. This is almost too good to be true. We'll see if it's repeatable, but this is a striking finding. The hemoglobin A1C fell on average from 7.1 to 5.67. That's 1.5 units, but that 1.5 units puts most of the type 1 diabetics not at risk of developing long-term heart disease, kidney failure, amputations, or brain disease. Amazing, amazing. We're using lifestyle, which is the right way of doing it, to control a major cancer. It is truly one of the huge benefits of this era. We talked about air pollution. The higher air pollution last week was associated with increased respiratory infections. This week, another study showing its increase for increased infertility or fertility treatment failures. So it is air pollution. If you're going to try and conceive, you should spend a month out in areas which have very low air pollution. Remember, when you're looking for a house, get it farther from the freeway. And farther from diesel routes. Diabetic stress. If you have diabetes, it's not only a low carb, high fat, high healthy fat, that is chocolate, walnuts, avocados, salmon, high healthy fat diet, but also having those buddies who help you stay on that key for being successful. And our last study of the day is one that we should tell you. For firefighters who worked in the World Trade Center rubble, the future is a heightened risk of prostate cancer, of two other cancers, malignant melanoma, which is a skin cancer, and a higher risk of, thyroid cancer. Now, it's not much. So your risk goes from roughly 2,600 to 2,720, or up, any increased risk, but it's about a 5% increase in risk of cancer compared to the general public. So those are our stories that make a difference for your life today. Remember, I can say, have dark chocolate. Think about cutting back on calories and eat less saturated and less trans fat and avoid excess iron, tablets, or anything else, as it's linked to increased memory loss and maybe a cause of it. This has been Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to 892A, News of the Week, and we thank Darian for great engineering, you for downloading us. Tell your friends about us. 51,000 of you a week can't be wrong, but thanks for downloading us. And remember, download the B segment of this, 892B, Rosemary Gibson, author of China RX, a wonderful, wonderful interview she gave, 892B. Thanks very much again. See you next week with another top medical news of the week, but most importantly, what it means to you. In the meantime, I'm having coffee, chocolate, and walnuts for my snack right now.